This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Nazmia Comrie, and on behalf of the Cops Office, I'd like to introduce you to Jennifer Thompson, the crime victim from the Ronald Cotton case in North Carolina, who misidentified the perpetrator of her rape, and Meg Morrow, attorney advisor, U.S. Department of Justice Office for Victims of Crime. They are here to discuss the impacts of wrongful convictions on survivors, victims of crime, and law enforcement. Thank you all so much. Jennifer, what are the impacts of wrongful convictions on survivors and victims of crime?
She opens the original crime that occurred to you or to a family member, but then also compounds it with a considerable amount of shame or guilt or feeling responsible. Of course, there's a lot of fear that comes into play because now there's someone coming out of prison that's innocent and you feel like maybe you or your family might be in danger. And then it also opens you up to a lot of blaming and hostility from the public when these cases become, you know, the media attention hits it. It's almost on some level worse than the original crime.
Jennifer, can you describe what it was like to learn that DNA testing proved a mistake had been made in your case and that the man you thought was the perpetrator was innocent? What personal tolls did that have on your life? What about on your view of our criminal justice system?
Well, my personal life, I mean, when it first happened, you know, for 11 years, I had been absolutely positively certain of Ronald's guilt. I had a face in my nightmares for the last 4,000 days of my life. I had much of my young adulthood just had really marked me. And then to find out that we had made a mistake, we were the same age going into this journey, and so we're the same age now as he's being exonerated, a third of his life was just gone off of this personal calendar. And for me, it was actually paralyzing. The best word I can describe it is it suffocated me. I no longer had confidence in myself. I no longer felt safe. I mistrusted my own decisions, my own memory on many levels. But I also was terrified. I mean, I honestly believed that Ronald was going to try to seek revenge on me or my children. And so it was debilitating on many, many, many levels. So I kind of hid and I'm very anxious. My children watched significant change in my day-to-day movements. I became almost paranoid for their safety. It really restricted me on a lot of what I would consider safety and my ability to kind of freely move about my space, because now I was afraid at every turn of the corner. As far as the criminal justice system, I actually didn't understand it. I didn't understand what had actually happened. For me, I put all the blame on myself. That I was just a bad person or bad, quote-unquote, victim. So I didn't actually understand the larger picture, which was the criminal justice system and some of the failures that are involved. That would take many, many years for me to uncover and unearth, and that's been really doing the work I do. Because of that, my faith in the criminal justice system is not nearly as solid as it used to be, even upon the exoneration. I really believe that the system worked effectively. It was just me that made the mistake. And like I said, years going, you know, forward now, I've been able to look at other cases and other situations and realize that it's systemic issues and problems. It's not a person or a thing that failed.
Meg, what role can the Office for Victims of Crime within the U.S. Department of Justice play in addressing the needs of survivors and victims of crime in cases of wrongful conviction and exoneration?
OVC can use its federal leadership role to help build capacity in the victim services field to address the very unique needs of victims and survivors whose cases result in an exoneration. We can raise awareness about the needs of these victims and survivors. Until fairly recently, we didn't know very much about victims in these cases and the very unique needs they have, like some of those things Jennifer talked about. It really has only been with the increase in exonerations over the last few years that there has been more attention to the needs of the victims of the original crime. On the heels of two reports released last year, one was from a National Institute of Justice-funded study on the experiences of victims in cases of wrongful conviction, and one was from a summit held by the International Association of Chiefs of Police on preventing wrongful convictions. OVC has really worked to try to further explore this issue. To that end, we're currently preparing to hold a small roundtable discussion of experts in the fall to help us more clearly identify the specific needs of these victims, any resources and services that are currently available to meet those needs, gaps in resources and services, and then what resources and services ideally should be supported and developed to fill those gaps. We plan to invite representatives from a wide range of perspectives to participate, including victim services, criminal justice professionals, including law enforcement, prosecution, and defense, Innocence Project, research, and victims and survivors. From the discussion, we really expect to learn a great deal to inform and expand OVC's future work to support the field in this area. Finally, I want to highlight that it's critical to include survivors like Jennifer in these discussions, like the one that OVC is planning, because they are the ones, or the only ones, who can authentically speak to the experiences of victims and survivors following an exoneration. I also want to commend Jennifer for having the courage and strength to come forward and talk about her experience with misidentifying Ronald Cotton. She's an inspiration to those of us who want to improve services to this group of victims, whose needs, frankly, have been largely unserved to this point.
Yes, thank you both today for your time and expertise, and thank you so much, Jennifer, for being willing to talk about your experiences with us.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.